I just hope to start with, and I'm sure you're not fed up with hearing the word of God, because I've got an awful lot of the word of God in here this morning. So going back to Matt's Get Connected letter right at the beginning of this sermon series, he said in the series that the hope was that we will all have the eyes of our hearts increasingly opened and be encouraged to develop practices that will help us as followers of Jesus to experience the supernatural realm of which we are a part, to become naturally supernatural. As we've already heard, today is the day that church celebrates Pentecost, the day when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit, as we've already heard. And it strikes me that that's a very appropriate day to open our eyes to see the spiritual battle that is around us and how to arm ourselves for protection. So first of all, why do we need battle armour? And we can see the answer to that in various places in the New Testament. Before he talks about the armour that we need, Paul himself tells the Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And he tells the Corinthians, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So it's important to know that we do have an adversary. Peter gives us the warning, be alert, be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Jesus himself warned his listeners, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. In the Lord's Prayer, he gives us the word, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And later on, praying for his disciples before his crucifixion, Jesus said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. The Gospels and Jesus' own words tell us that he faced spiritual attack and we will too. Spiritual warfare is alive and well. We face an enemy who wants to separate us from God by deluding us, lying to us, planting doubts and enslaving us. He wants to lead the whole world astray. But we know we live in the kingdom of light, to keep our fears at bay. Verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? And those beautiful promises in verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So having said all that, we do need to acknowledge that we're in a spiritual battle. And not all of us get to see that battle like some of the characters in the Bible. But we need to know it's going on. And we need to be battle ready. So before I go any further, I'm going to ask Trudy to come down and read from Ephesians chapter 6 about the battle armour.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
So Linda's mentioned how it is I'm standing here this morning. We need to put on that battle armour each day to protect ourselves and to be ready to fight those spiritual forces. And somebody's already mentioned, I think it was Linda, we're ambitious for the kingdom. The first of our principles, seeing like Jesus. We want God's kingdom to come on earth, in our homes and our communities, but there are spiritual forces that out there that absolutely do not want that. So at that time when I had this picture, I felt that there was a real block in our prayer life, my prayer life. We were praying into church family issues and just feeling that something was preventing things. And at that time, I also had deep family needs, deep prayer needs within my own family. And so I found myself praying alone. And in that battle space, I was reminded of an incident probably 15 to 20 years ago when we had a 24/7 prayer time. And I drew a picture. I'm not an artist. I drew a picture of the church and surrounded it with the pieces of armour described in Ephesians as a protection for our church. And that morning I felt the need to cover the church once again in the spiritual armour of God. Matt said while he was away I could use his wheelie board, but to be honest, the thought of drawing in public, I have to say, was worse than the thought of standing here and speaking in public. So I decided to do it in advance. So hopefully here is my one I prepared earlier. So Paul tells the Ephesians, as well as the other churches that would have received his circular letter and his words today, tell us, put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And again, therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after everything to stand. Right at the very beginning of the passage that Trudy read, it starts, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That little word, his, really jumped out at me recently. Do you realise we don't have to stand strong in our own strengths? We stand firm against the devil's schemes in his strength, in his might, but we do need to equip ourselves with his whole armour. And remember, as we've already sung, the battle is not ours, it is the Lord's. We are fighting from a place of victory. Isaiah 63 says, "It is I proclaiming victory, mighty to save." So let's have a look at the various pieces of armor that Paul writes about. It's fascinating to see that a lot of the imagery that he used comes straight out of the Old Testament, which of course he would have known really well. Now, as I prayed, certain parts of the armor felt significantly important that day, and so I haven't said the same amount over each piece of armor. But maybe as you read, something would be jumping out at you that you need, and I would encourage you to go further and ask God what that means for you. So, first we have the belt of truth. I was supposed to bring a leather belt and completely forgot. We need to be able to discern the difference between truth and lies. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Jesus tells us in John 8, "The devil is a liar and the father of lies, and there is no truth in him." We need to equip ourselves with God's truth to stand firm against the lies of the enemy. So then we add the breastplate of righteousness. Isaiah refers both to the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation in chapter 59, where he's warning the Israelites that they are driving back justice and truth is nowhere to be found. And so the Lord steps in to intervene. His own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. In chapter 11, talking about the forthcoming Messiah, who would come from David's family line, he says, "Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist." The breastplate of righteousness is there to guard your hearts. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What goes into your heart can impact all you do. Are you guarding it with the breastplate of righteousness? Are you working daily on your relationship with God? Feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Are you ready to take your stand in the battle with a strong, firm footwear and to share the good news? Are you prepared? Are you ready to spread God's word? Isaiah tells us, "How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." Shield of faith. In Genesis, God gives Abraham the assurance, I am your shield. And that's while he was still known as Abraham before he was given the name of Abraham. So that morning while I'm praying, I actually had a second picture. In the distant days, an army would work together using their shields in front of them and above them. They would be hedged in with protection all around from whatever the opposing army was to throw at them. The protection also worked to protect the injured and the weak, to get them away from the front line to safety. Everyone ready and working together holds up a shield of faith, and then together they can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. We can't all be on top form all the time, but as an advancing army, together we can carry those who are wounded and exhausted. The helmet of salvation. We need to guard our heads, our minds, against negative influences, lies, doubts, and fears. In Psalm 27, David shows his confidence in God, declaring, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" About a year ago, I came across a prayer in my Scripture Union Bible notes. And then only a couple of days later, I came across another prayer from a Bible plan that I was using on my Bible app. I wrote them both down. And I find that most days I pray these two prayers together. And when I do, I found great peace of mind from them. It goes like this. Almighty God, fill my heart with love for you, my mind with thoughts of you, and align my will to yours. Free me from the thoughts that block your light and replace them with truth. Our plans start with thoughts which come from our minds. We can assure that our plans align with God's will if we guard our hearts and our minds. As we've already said, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. With the helmet of salvation, we have the assurance of our eternal destiny is secure. And then we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I expect you're already aware that the sword is the only weapon of attack in the armour of God. It's the only item in the list that we can wield against an enemy. We have to be careful how we use the sword. Before we started this sermon series, we were looking through Mark, and I got a little bit behind. But I was struck when I read the story of Peter using his sword to cut off Malchus's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane and how Jesus healed him. A study plan on my phone, because I found it helped. And the plan writer wrote William Barclay's comments. Had Jesus not healed Malchus, Peter would have been arrested as well. And there might have been four crosses at Calvary. And the writer goes on to say, in this moment, Peter shows us what happens when we as believers take up the sword, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. What happens? We cut off ears. Ears to the gospel, to the truth of Christ, to salvation, hope, and freedom. And he goes on, I pray we put down our swords, stop inflicting wounds, and instead wield the word of God in truth and love, as Peter did throughout the book of Acts. That way, instead of cutting off ears, we might be used to pierce hearts for God's glory. Wow, how careful we have to be with words. Hebrews 4:12 tells us the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And you'll find references to the double-edged sword and Jesus in Revelation as well. We need to know and learn God's word, and then we can fight like Jesus did at his temptation. When we do that, we're reinforcing Christ's victory on the cross. Jesus showed us how to use the word of God to fight back against temptation. Three times he used the words, it is written. We need to recognize that the word of God is truth. As we've already seen, Jesus is truth, and truth is mightier than lies. Jesus told his disciples in John 8, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will see the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can I encourage you, if you don't already do this, find a way to highlight verses in your Bible when you're reading God's word, or write them out in a journal. Try to memorize them. Maybe make a note of the date and what's going on in your life at the time. What caused that spark? Find out more about what they mean and ask God what he's saying to you through them. And can I encourage you to read or declare words of scripture out loud? We've just sung about, we love to shout your name, Yahweh. To sing worship songs when you get the chance. Not just here on a Sunday, but during the week. The enemy does not want to hear words of truth and light and power, or to hear you praising God. So on these two occasions when I had this picture, I felt that the call was to cover the church in the protective parts of the armour, the helmet to protect our thoughts and our minds, the breastplate and shield to give protection all around us. Salvation is what protects and saves us from the enemies, from the arrows of the enemy. The breastplate and the shield protect us all round and protect our hearts. Matt talked about experiencing the supernatural realm. And I just want to assure you. And also, you do need to be looking in the right places, which, if you're armed up in his armour, you will be. And if you want your eyes opened to see, you only have to ask him. Elisha prayed for his servant to see God's answer to a physical battle. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I know that some of you will have heard this story before of my seeing the supernatural, but I want to encourage you also I felt it was worth repeating. This is about 18 and a half years ago now. My husband and I were sat at the bedside of our son, James, in the intensive care unit late one evening. He was later diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Following the general anaesthetic for a biopsy, he didn't breathe for himself when the tube was removed, and so it was reinserted and he was taken to the ICU. When we entered, it was a shock to see him connected to so many tubes and not breathing for himself. We stayed by his bedside for some time. I've got no idea how long. But it was getting late, and there was nothing we could do except pray and then leave him in the hands of the experienced medical staff. I remember having my head down on his bed, and I prayed, "Lord, if we go home now, who's going to carry on praying for him?" Sorry. As I lifted my head, God gave me the answer. The room was filled with praying angels. If they had been physical beings, you would not have been able to walk across that ward. I was filled with so much peace that I was able to go home and get a good night's sleep, knowing that he was in safe hands, not just the ICU doctors and nurses, and that he was going to get well. And I give death testimony to that today. The final verse from that section of Ephesians that we've been looking at. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You've heard that today already. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And remember, we're never fighting alone. Moses' words to Joshua when he was handing over: "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And so as we get ready to move to some, I'd like to pray for us. We're told several times in the passage that we need to stand. Verse 11, we have to take our stand against the devil's schemes. 13, we need to be able to stand our ground. And 14, we need to stand firm. It's important to remember that partial protection leaves us vulnerable to the enemy. We can't armor up sitting down. So, if you're able, would you please join me in standing? Almighty God, we thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit and to all who seek it. I pray for those who right now are seeking a fresh filling, that you would fill hearts and minds. We thank you for making available to us all the tools that we need to protect us from the physical, from the spiritual battle. I pray for those who struggle to arm themselves with any particular item, the armor that you have for us. I pray for those who struggle with past lies, that your truth would be revealed to them. I pray for those who struggle with feeling worthy of a relationship with you, that they may know your loving arms of protection around them. I pray for those who find it hard to share the gospel with friends and families and yet long for them to know its truth, that they may find opportunities opening up and the confidence to speak. I pray for those who think that their faith is weak, that you would arm them with strength and confidence when the battle rages. For those who doubt, that they may know for sure that their destiny in you is secure, that Jesus has accomplished it through his death and resurrection. And for those who want to learn more of your word, that you would enable their memories to store up important verses that you know they will need. And again, for those who long for more of your outpouring, for more of your Holy Spirit, I pray, Holy Spirit, come, fall on us. Open our eyes to your spiritual realm and guide us by your light, that we, like the early disciples, may speak your word boldly. And as we battle, by declaring God's word and the name of Jesus over our lives, the lives of our families, over our church, community, nation, and the world, help us to remember, we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Jesus has already won the war at the cross. We're fighting a battle you've already won.